Mr. Sacco live in? When and where were you born, Mr. Sacco?
Durham City, actually in the marketplace.
And the date of birth?
13th of June, 1920.
How many in the family?
I had four sisters. I was the only one.
And where did you come in the line?
I was the oldest.
You're the oldest?
Yeah.
What did your father do for you?
He had a shop like this, ice cream shop, and sweets, coffee, and things like that, in Landing Road, which is between Durham and Bransford.
So you've got quite a long family history of shops.
Oh, yes.
Did your mother work?
Oh, yes.
You worked in business?
Uh-huh.
Had your father been in the First World War?
Yes, he was in Durham at the time, when he was 19. And he went and joined the Italian army in the First World War. And he was taken prisoner. And he finished up in Graz, Austria.
That's interesting. In the Italian army. And this is the background to your family.
Yeah.
And was he a first generation Italian Indian, or had he come over with his parents?
He came over on his own.
At what age?
About 16. Then he went to America, worked for Henry Ford, didn't like it, and came back and opened a shop in Langley.
Was it easy in those days to be a foreign person from a foreign country to settle into English life?
He settled in quite well. He was interned when the war started because he wouldn't become naturalised. He said, once an Italian, always an Italian. And he was interned on the Isle of Man. Immediately I was called up, he was released from the Isle of Man.
So this is the Second World War that he was interned?
Yes.
In the Second World War?
Yeah.
How was he treated? Did he ever speak about it?
He rather enjoyed it. He used to go mad reading his letters, you know. Being careful with words and things. He quite enjoyed it.
The area that you lived in, what kind of an area was it?
It was a quarry area. Well, in England, you mean? It was about 2.5 miles from there, or 3 miles from there. It's quarry area.
A close-knit area?
Oh, yes, very close.
You can get on well with neighbours, and...
Oh, very well, yeah.
It wouldn't be the... Well, it'd be quite a poor area, presumably.
It was.
Did you find that people in those days, as I said, didn't have regular money, coming to your shop with to use an extra using tick, as they called it?
Well, they tried to get tick. They used to come, those that didn't have money used to come in and sit down, you know, and things like that. And we never bothered them. Certainly, you know, they sit there. You know. And when they did have a few coppers, they would spend it. It was very hard.
Did you have a comfortable living?
Well, I was quite comfortable in the way, you know, but, yes, I really enjoyed it.
Did you live in a house separate from the shop or above the shop?
Above the shop.
And how many bedrooms did you have?
Oh, we had four bedrooms.
And
quite
large. Yes. Growing up as a child in the area, what memories have you got of that?
Well, going to school at St. Patrick's Sarsfield School.
At what age did you start?
5. And I was taken to school by the sister of one of the 5 train robbers.
Which one was that?
William Ball.
I hadn't realised they were North East family. Your memories of school life, what are those?
Oh, very good. I was head boy. My sister was head girl. My younger sister, she became head girl. So it worked quite a good record.
What were the teachers like?
Oh, very good, Mr. Tom. Very hard man. Fair head.
Yes, Yes, I was going to ask you about discipline in the school.
Wouldn't stand any nonsense at all.
But the king.
Oh, yes.
How did you feel the quality of education you were getting at that time?
Well, quite honestly, I think the Catholic schools got a real bad do. It was the Durham Johnson School. I can't remember anyone after passing the first and second exams going to the Johnson School, apart from one, and his father was a counsellor. And he wasn't a bright boy either. I'm not mentioning it.
Did you change schools at a
later time? No, I left at 14.
Did you enjoy that?
Yes, played on the football team.
And you say that the discipline was quite strict. Were there any teachers who stand out in your mind that influenced your life in any way?
Yeah, Miss Milmore.
And what reason did she do that?
Well, she seemed to take a fancy to me. She was quite a hard school teacher, stand on nonsense. She actually came to see me in the hospital. That's some kind of illness. I can't remember exactly what it was. I try to think about that one.
Clothing and food, you didn't suffer in any way for lack of that.
Business was really bad, but how many more than monies, I don't know. But I was dressed well.
The church would play a major role in
your life, didn't it? Oh, yes. Go to church and you got the cane on this on the Monday.
Did you join the was there any youth organizations, Boy Scouts, that kind of thing?
I was in the Wolf Cubs. I didn't get into the Scouts.
At what age would you join those?
I think I'd be about 7 or 8 when I joined the Wolf Cubs.
Was it a uniform?
Yes, a green neckerchief. Can't remember the colour of the jersey. Green neckerchief.
I
was cool,
yeah. You have to paint that yourself, your family.
Oh, yes. Okay.
What kind of activity did the World Cup get up to?
They did kinds of plays and exercises and running and things like that. And the very first year we went to, we held a jamboree in Devon, and this was the first St. Patrick's we were known as. And we won first prize, we won the shield against all the other packs in the very first year.
A very healthy activity.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the Kung Master was an Aussie Open.
What was he, teacher or
jamboree? Yes, quite a good job.
Outdoor activities as a child, those were the days when you could go out in the streets with no fear of abduction.
Oh, that's right.
And you spent a great deal of your time out of doors.
Oh, when I could.
Did you start working in the shop at a very early age?
Oh, 10.
As we've been a family concern.
That's right.
When did you leave school?
14.
And was it straight into the shop?
Straight into the shop.
So you were always working
for it? Oh, no. We were building a garage next door to the shop. And I said to my father, I said, when I leave school, I don't want to come to the shop, I want a job. So he said, right. So they're building this garage and went and saw the phone. He says, you're starting a job on Monday. Would you join us? And I was really enjoying it. Floors and really enjoying it. But the garage had no roof on that time. It was lovely and then it started to snow. And I crept back and said, can I come back in the shop? I got frozen. And he said, I'll come back in the shop. And that was the
you weren't there very long.
I'm just out snoring.
What kind of work did they get you to do?
Oh, I joined the squad laying the floorboards. You know, you'd be in a row and you'd be sending the floorboards down, cramping up. And I was doing all the skirting and stuff like that. I was getting on really well. I was really loving it. I just didn't think of bad weather something. It got soft.
What was your first thing?
Oh, yeah. Shillings.
And was that handed over to your parents?
Yeah, I think they gave most of it back to me.
Did they, a young boy, working men, did they try to play working men's tricks on
those? No, they were all very good. But I was actually working right next door to the shop.
So you were close to
the shop? Oh, yeah. When I left school, oh, I became an absolute crazy on dog racing. I used to go to dog racing. I was absolutely ecstatic. But I used to nearly always win. I used to go to demonstrate dog track. I remember it appearing in the paper that a certain chap for a certain stake won £28, which was a lot of money then, for a shilling stake. That was me. My father said, you should do something like that. And that's fine. It wasn't.
And you kept your winnings?
Okay. Well, no, I gave them some. Those things were hard, really.
Do you recall how difficult it was during the Spanish strike?
Really bad. We were standing in the shop and folks were coming in and just sitting down. And then now and then somebody on the took me off that and said, what was really bad? You're taking about 10 shillings a bill, you know, something like that.
So
it was
back to
your business? Oh, absolutely.
Were you able to get
over that? Well, how we did, I don't know, but we did scrape through. Often had the bailiffs come, and we opened a fish and chip shop. The Bowles, that William Bowles company, we owned that place next door, and they lived in the house. But there was always fights in the yard, William Bowles and different ones. And I loved William Bowles, with my hero, you know. He was all skinny, and fighting of nobody. When it's, it was quite a bit older than I was. But at school, if I got threatened by it, I might have had Billy Bowles, just the mention of Billy Bowles in the end. You know, that was it. Yeah. Yeah.
Drinking and aggressive
behavior
like that, was that
a great deal of that at that time? Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. And he could afford it.
Did you pay out
funds? Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Every night at 9 o'clock. First time he called me smoking. I started smoking when I was about 15. And this, my father used to always go out at 9, this man was dying for the smoke. And then I said, well, I wish it was 9 o'clock, and he'd go out the shop. And that I was, he went back to the shop, and I can't get him out. And he forgot something, he gave me back. He said, I've known all about that for quite a long time, you know. That's how I got caught. To see he knew I was smoking.
What about girls going
to the teenagers? One or two, but none lasted very long. This made the odd one in the pub. Go out with him once or twice. But I didn't definitely have a girlfriend for quite a long time. I was never afraid to dance. I used to get up on the floor after I had a few drinks and I was hopeless.
Oh, yes. Seemed to break two or three doors.
But after a short while, 9 months, as you say, you started working in the shop. And that was immediately behind the counter.
Mm-hmm.
You would go away to the experience anyway. Did you come out of failure?
Oh, yeah. I didn't get a settled wage. I'd go and ask him for some money if he was a few dollars and that was it. So I never had a settled wage.
And
you
lived and worked with the family business up to joining the army.
That's right. Yeah.
1930s, were you aware as the 1930s progressed that there were problems on the continent?
1930s. No, I wouldn't say it was
a the war was coming.
Yeah. That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, do you recall where you were and what you were doing when Chamberlain made the announcement that war was
coming? Well, I was in the shop.
What were your feelings at that time?
I wanted to join. And I went to try and join the RAF. But anyway, we failed as on different. Had to go on different things. A few tests I got. I passed some and I didn't pass the others. Anyway, they wouldn't take me.
It must have been a great concern to you when your father was returned.
When it was done.
Do you recall how that came about? What happened there?
Yeah, it was very quick, actually. Must have been a couple of days after they got into the war.
And how did they do it? Oh,
yeah, yes. We're all upstairs, actually, yeah, for some reason. And this voice at the bottom of the stairs shouts, Carabinieri! That's Italian for police, like, you know, Carabinieri, you know. So they come up, like, and I've never seen anything as quick. They told me about to collect what we could and what we needed and that. And it was just straight off. He wasn't, he would never become that sort of guy, that was it.
So basically picking up people
like that,
weren't
they? That's right, yeah. About 2 years later, a chap who worked on the bridges came to the shop and looked around and handed him a little note, and my father managed to scribble the note. But he was, don't worry, I'll be up. Got it on the railway line as it went through London Brewer, and this Mr. Dawson picked it up and brought Darlene very sick. He had a lot of good friends.
Must have been very difficult for him, very upset.
Oh, right.
There was no warning.
No.
He didn't kind of say that in the next few days he'd be coming to people like his
father. I think it must have been just a couple of days after.
After a short time,
you
obviously very worried about him. What was happening to him?
Oh, yeah. It was a city. He seemed to have a good time, yeah.
Where was the thing you went to?
Ireland.
Did he tell you about the conditions there? I said, no, you said you had a good time. Did he tell you under what conditions they were holding him? Was it kind of concentration camp or?
I can't remember exactly what kind of a camp it was, but he seemed to be quite happy there. You know.
How long did they hold him?
They held him until I was called up. And I'd been in the army maybe 3 or 4 weeks when they released him. You know. Came back a lot.
There must have been some indication of the loyalty.
Yeah. Oh, yes, it was.
And you were running the shop whilst you were away?
Yeah, my mother and sister. So, yeah. We were quite busy then. When we all started, because like, the soldiers visited all around, and we were coming in, you know, and we got really busy.
And you still at Landing Moor?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Well, actually, there were soldiers stationed everywhere in their clubs and different things. And they were stationed all around.
Do you recall as a young man, before you went into the army, and yet the war had started, conversing with soldiers at that time?
Oh, yeah.
What date did you join the war? Did they conscript you to join the army?
Well, I'm pretty sure it was either 21st of June or July.
What year was this? Did 1940 or later than that?
Oh, 1941.
Was it a sense of adventure?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Not so much of a question of serving king and country so much.
Just to get out of the shop and with the lambs and have nights off and things like that. Yeah.
Did you have a medical pride at your home? Uh-huh. Was it a good one? Was it pretty good?
Yeah.
Checked you out pretty well.
Uh-huh.
And then you'll get your letter. Thinking back to that first moment when you arrived at the camp, how did they receive you?
Oh, quite well. But another two, the same as I was. As you were young, he came from the Green School. He was one of the original members of the Blue Green Band. Can you remember the Blue Green Band? I must have heard of Uri Green.
Was that Uri Green?
Yeah. Well, they had a boys' band. And Ozzy, he was the youngest member of the band, 14, playing piano. The most brilliant pianist. He came straight out of the band of piano. Ozzy Vianney.
You arrive at the camp, and the guys are
there,
and what did they do to you then?
Well, I think we were inoculated first, you know, created, took all the particulars down there, we were not related, and then we just went down to Castle to get all the uniforms and everything.
What did
they
give you as a uniform?
Well, a khaki battle dress, that's it, you know, probably uniform.
And how was it actually handed to you? Did they measure you?
Oh, they measured us. Very quick.
You just look at you over the camera and just say, that's your size.
Yeah, the message, well, they were very quick about it. I got a very good uniform, actually. You know, it was, see, the smoother one, for the whole thing.
After you got your uniform, that was the first day, was it? You got your uniform straight away, after you had your inoculation.
That's right, yeah.
Where were you billeted?
In Hoots, in.
Can you describe the interior of the hut to me?
That was just a big long hut with beds on either side, you know, a fire right in the middle, one of those fires with a big pipe and a stove.
Table in the center?
There was a table, yes.
Where were the ablutions in relation to the hut?
Oh, well, where are our ablutions? Came out and just walked down this maybe about 10 yards, and then the rolled on the ablutions there.
Separate place.
Oh, yes.
The beds themselves, what type were they?
Well, they seem to be like kind of hard, well, not hard, but plywood, and with a mattress on top of that. You know, it's quite old. Was biscuits. Oh, yes. You did a body of inspection.
Are they regular?
Oh, yes.
Who would do that?
Well, either the orderly sergeant or whoever he was. Some men see over to it, sometimes a corporal.
And did you stand by a bed whilst this inspection was taken?
That's right, yeah.
How often did you have these inspections? And yet, I already put out. And how was that laid out so that it could be inspected?
How was it laid out? Biscuits at the top, probably. The blankets rolled up, mess tins and things like that.
And presumably the blankets were square.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
If you were short of it, if you'd lost it, you were not. We were talking about if any items were lost.
Really interrogating. I can't ever remember anybody, you know, by losing them.
Did you have barrack room damages taken from the pig?
But as I say, I can't ever remember anything like that happening.
Can we talk a little about the men that you now found yourself with? There were 30 of you in the hut. Do you recall what kind of backgrounds they had, where they were coming from?
Oh, it was quite a nice intake. Mostly young ones. When I'm saying young, he's 21. Exactly. The others, maybe he's about 10 older ones. But a nice corporal in charge of the corporal ones.
And what was he like?
Oh, he was very nice. Yeah.
In what ways was he nice? What kind of things did he do with it?
Oh, well, he never told you. We kept the hood really spruce. He went down, we did everything he told us. And I can't ever remember him getting nasty with his corporal boots. He was exceptional.
Did all of the men, the 30 of you or so, were they all quite keen to be in the army?
Oh, no.
Were there any reluctant ones amongst them?
Oh, yeah. Especially Ozzy. Yeah. You know, first me. Rule, I suppose, you know, an ambush in part, this is nice food. And these boys, about three from me, called it bloody food. You know, we'd been used to high lip, and, you know, we didn't know who he was. You know, we called it bloody food. Now, everybody's looking at him, you know, what do you think he is, like, you know. And I took an instant dislike to him. He's quite a good looking lad, you know, I took a dislike to him. When we were marching, couldn't march properly, we were kicking each other in different things, and I always seemed to be kicking him, like, you know, whatever. And we were quite enemies, you know. Then this particular night, I was going out to go home. I was on the airfield, and there was this Aussie Briani standing by himself. There was a bus that used to stop there. Where are you going? I said, I'm going to my mother's. I'm only about 3 miles from here. He said, well, can I come with you? I said, with you, huh? He told me, I was teased. From that moment on, we